boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
It's almost over, ladies and gentlemen. It is almost over. Details to come tomorrow. I will definitely have some details tomorrow, but it is almost over, almost a wrap, almost finished. Pretty sure a lot of you out there are wondering what the hell I'm talking about. Well, let me put it to you this way. The final breakdown of my court case should be coming up very, very soon. I will have details tomorrow in an in-depth conversation with my attorney, David Cohen, by the way. I never seem to give him any props or mention his name. David Cohen is my attorney of Cohen and Foreman, is my lawyer. We look like we are going to be moving on from this, so there will be very, very good news coming up very, very soon. Tomorrow should be the official announcement. If not, don't worry. We'll keep you posted. Facebook is where you need to go. You can always check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com. And, you know, we'll do, you know, all the important press releases and, you know, conversations with all of you folks to make sure that you get. But definitely, it is coming to an end. I'm extremely excited about some of the, I guess, at least the text back and forth I have with my lawyer today. So I will be forwarding that to you when we find out what that deal is. And I'll be able to officially give you that those details. So I'm very, very happy to do that. What I am not happy about is that I hear that the referees may be coming back. I ain't too happy about that. I'm not happy about the referees. They might be coming back. I hear that the ratings are through the roof. The ratings are through the roof. Because they want to see these botched calls. People want to come in and see the carnage. Very excited about that. Very excited about that. And I want to see, you know, what happens, but I'm sure it will. They'll be there, and there shouldn't be any complaints after that, other than what we've already heard before. So, you know, that'll be the, you know, that'll be the case. So I'm not exactly excited about that, but not that my other news doesn't trump the NFL news. You know, it's, I love football. As you know, I've told plenty of people I love football. I was excited about that. The refs will be back. There'll be no more great stories. Hopefully, there'll be a great story. There'll be something to talk about when it comes to football. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'll just enjoy the season and keep it moving. Anyway, how about an edition of Reese's Rant today? I'd like to talk about a piece of garbage, folks. I would like to talk about a piece of garbage. No, it's not Madonna. Most would think it was. It ain't Madonna. Many people would think that it was President Barack Obama. No, it's not. I've called him foolish, stupid, fool-ass Negro. But there's only one person right now that I could call a piece of garbage. And if you haven't heard this audio, if you haven't heard this question, if you haven't even heard about this story, let me be the first to tell you. If you haven't heard, I'm sure you have. But I got to make sure that I make this abundantly clear that this piece of garbage who works over at CNN, let me give the backdrop. It's better that I give a backdrop. President Obama, about a month ago, did an interview with Essence magazine. And the reporter, who's black, was talking to President Obama, was asking him questions about
the unemployment rate within the African-American community, about the situations going on in black America. There's a lot of these newspapers and magazines that are, you know, black-owned, black-reported. They like to bring that up. They always like to talk about the black community as if it's Mars. It's some subtext of the American scope. It doesn't exist in the realm of the rest of America. They are absolutely foreign to the rest of this country. Black America, the black community, they do a lot of that. They do a lot of that, and I'm not going to, well, I would never say rightly so. They're idiots for doing it, but they do it. Because this helps them to stay caught up in that, you know, that meme, you know, that we're victims meme. We're not 100%. We are not real members of the American dream. You know, there's no way that we can be a part of any of that because we're second-class citizens. They need that. They love that. So they push that often to a lot of the American media. And there are people out there who believe, yes, I understand what the blacks are going through. They don't feel like they're one of us. So, you know, they group together within their own community and they try to take care of themselves. Bull crap. They don't take care of themselves. Negroes only care about themselves. And when I say that, I mean individually. They believe in individualism. As long as I got mine, F everybody else. There's no sense of community unless there's fundraising to be done. Until they need people out walking and marching. That's the only time that we show. I mean, what kind of group of people have to walk around banding together in the moments of tragedy, but the rest of the day call each other niggas? Refer to themselves as niggas and hoes and bitches. Seriously. But this piece of garbage, named Jim Acosta, at CNN, asked the most ridiculous question ever. And it proves to me, ladies and gentlemen, that Jim Acosta of CNN is a blatant racist. I don't use that word often. But Jim Acosta is a flat-out racist. He doesn't know any blacks. He doesn't care about blacks. And privately, Jim Acosta hates blacks. He sees them as a subtext of American life. He sees them as others. He paints it as, you know, this is what African Americans say. This is what African Americans think. Now, there may be some truth behind that because I know a lot of fool-ass Negroes who think like Jim Acosta. But Jim Acosta is a fool and a bigot. And he would never ever ask this question of President Obama, hey, what have you done for the Negroes? 11%, 12% unemployment in the black community. What are you doing about that? You know, you're the first black president. Wouldn't they get some attention from you being the first black president? And would anybody ever ask the president of the United States that? Of course not. And Jim Acosta wouldn't either. So why the F would this piece of garbage bother to ask Mitt Romney this question?
African Americans have a tremendous sense of pride that there's the first African American president in the White House. If you were to somehow beat the first African-American president, what would you say to the black community to assure them that you would be their president also?
What would you say to the black community to assure them? What would you say to them to assure them? Jim Acosta, let me ask you a couple of questions. Has the black community ever come to you and said, I need the white man to tell me what he's going to do for me? Have you heard that? I want you to tell me what black person, and please don't suggest Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. They don't speak for all Negroes. Tell me these black people. Are they in Harlem? Are they in South Central? Are they in Detroit, Chicago? Which one of them are saying that the president doesn't care about them? Because if you believe that black people think that President Obama cares about them, please, I want to hear from those people too. Tell me how President Obama is taking care of you, that he's your president, other than being dark like you. See, to ask this question to the white man is to say, listen, honky, I'm Spanish, and I don't like you honkies anyway. You know, I came to CNN so I can rip the white man off and take his check. And then, you know, maybe get something for my Latino brothers and sisters and push their narrative. But I don't trust you, honky. And I know that the Negroes don't trust you either because they're minorities like me. So, white man, if you unseat the first black president, because of him, we might get, you know, Hector, Calderon, Abutuela, whatever. We might get him in the White House next. If you were to unseat the first black president, what are you going to do for black people? What would you say to blacks to assure them that you're going to be their president too? Like Mitt Romney's going to get in the White House, he's going to say, all right, listen up. This is what we're going to do, folks. Get all the black communities, corner them off, and don't give them ish. Make sure they don't get nothing. Make sure they don't get no welfare, no food stamps, no WIC checks. I want all 40 ounces removed. No 22s either. Get the scissor up out of the hood. If they got guns, that's fine. Let them shoot each other, but just corner off their neighborhoods. All right, no, don't worry about it. They don't exist. Okay? Tell me where all the great white neighborhoods are, and we'll take care of them. What am I going to say to assure the black people that I'm their president? Hey, nigga, you vote? I'm your president. Hey, did I win the election? Do you live in the United States? Don't worry about it, nigga. I got you. You live here, too. Got a job? Pay taxes? All right, you're on the list. All right, I'm going to work for you, too. You pay your bills on time? Put your kids in school? Huh? You watch the news? Huh? Do you contribute to community centers? What are you up to, nigga? Oh, you're making your community a better place? All right, you're on the list. I'm down with you. Is that what he's supposed to say? Is that what it is that he needs to say? Do you want him to get up there and say, hello, niggas, I'm Mitt Romney, and I know you've been feeling like you are second-class citizens forever, but I'm going to be the new president of the United States, and just in case you were wondering, I've got your back. I mean, come on. What is with these fool-ass reporters, especially these minority reporters like Jim Acosta? What is the deal? I mean, do you go to Mexico, Jim Acosta, and ask the president of Mexico, what are you doing for Guatemalans in your country? Do you really? What are you doing for Nicaraguans? How do you tell Nicaraguans that you're their president too? Do you go to black mayors or governors and walk up to them and ask them, or even senators for that matter, and say, tell the white folks what it is that you're going to do for them, Negro. Can you tell the white people how, as the first African-American senator, how you're going to be a senator for the white people too? Because I know that you're black and you've got a black agenda because blacks are behind, but how do you assure whites that they won't be ignored? Would you ask that? Would you ask a Latino? Would you ask a Latino? Would you ask Ted Cruz? Hey, Ted, how you doing?
All right, corazón, whatever.
Would you say to him, hey, Ted, listen, I know you're going to be, you know, a Mexican senator, but, you know, the blacks in the community, you know, they're not Mexican. How do you assure the blacks that you're going to, you know, be their senator too?
Corazón.
Whatever. Like, what? Did you ever think of that? What kind of moron does this? Jim Acosta, seriously, you should be slapped in the face by black people for marginalizing them. I would suggest that the next Negro who ever sees Jim Avila simply walk up to him. Jim Acosta, I apologize, I'm calling him Avila now. Jim Acosta, walk up to him and say, yo, my man, what are you disrespecting us for? What are you, a racist? Right in the face. Yes, I'm suggesting that somebody slap him in his mouth for disrespecting blacks, you racist piece of garbage. That's exactly what I would suggest anybody to do. You don't deserve to be in journalism. Now, I can say that because I don't care, personally. And it's not because I'm supporting Mitt Romney. It's just when I see bigots and pieces of garbage like you who say that, who really marginalize. Because, see, there's a lot of fool-ass Negroes out there that'll listen to you and say, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. What you going to say to me? What you going to do for me? You going to make my crack rock from $5 to $3? That moron. What you going to do about, you know what I'm saying, brother, getting arrested for selling rock? You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to feed my daughter. That moron. Those are the people who you're appeasing. Because trust me, anybody who's an intelligent black person knows better. I hope. But I'm frightened by these idiots. And I got a couple of them in my inner circle. I won't tell you who they are, Marnie, Jody, Romeo. I'm not going to mention names here. But there are a lot of them out there. There's a lot of fool-ass Negroes out there, FHU low branded. I'm not going to mention names. That's not my style. I'm not going to disrespect these people out there, Laura. I mean, I would never do that. I'm just here to let you know. These people need to be slapped in the mouth. Jim Acosta. Can't help but disrespect you, you piece of garbage. Can't help it. Listen to this dumbass. Listen to this dumbass.
African Americans have a tremendous sense of pride that there's the first African American president in the White House.
Who gives a damn? So what? They have a tremendous sense of pride. They have a tremendous sense of pride when P. Diddy goes platinum. They have a tremendous sense of pride when Biggie went diamond.
That's 10 million copies for those of you who don't know what I mean.
Biggie sold 10 million copies. They had a tremendous sense of pride there. Jay-Z does a Super Bowl ad. At the beginning of the Super Bowl, they get a tremendous sense of pride. Jay-Z opens up the 40-40 Club and makes it a chain. They have a tremendous sense of pride. Who gives a ish? African-Americans have a sense of pride. So what? They had a tremendous sense of pride when O.J. was found not guilty.
O.J. Simpson was found not guilty, and black Americans had a tremendous sense of pride when O.J. was found not guilty. What? Idiots.
African Americans have a tremendous sense of pride that there's the first African American president in the White House. If you were to somehow beat the first African American president, what would you say to the black community to assure them that you would be their president also?
I take the words of Old Dirty Bastard on MTV when he was asked by a caller, what kind of charitable groups do you give your money to? And Old Dirty Bastard said, nothing. And it's like, if you were to beat the first African-American president, as if he should feel ashamed of that.
You know, if you beat this black man, there are going to be some people who are mad.
Put an H on your chest and handle it, loser. The nigga effed up. What else am I going to say to you?
I'm sorry. I got more heart than Mitt Romney. I'd lose the election right off the bat. As soon as Acosta asked me the question, as soon as he said, they have a tremendous sense of pride in the first African-American. If you were to beat the first African-American president, what would you tell Blast? The nigga effed up. I got to beat him. The nigga effed up. What am I supposed to just sit idly by and feel guilty about taking this man to task because he's black? What are you, stupid? Are you kidding me? What do you want me to just lie down for this fool? You want me to just take a break? You want me to stop running? You feel better about yourself? Negroes could run around broken happy? Is that what you want? F that nigga. That's all I got to say. F him. I'm done with him. Keep it moving. I'm supposed to feel bad because black people have a sense of pride. I would tell every black person Jay-Z's got a new album coming out. You'll be all right. You'll be fine. Jay-Z, he's doing a whole album with Beyonce. $14.99 at FYE and Sam Goody. You'll be all right. You'll get over it. I heard he's got another 40-40 opening up at Six Flags. You'll be all right. But I've got to take it to this fool-ass people, bro. All right? Holla back. Keep it moving. It's Reason Radio. We'll be back.
And now it's time for Chris Matthews, Absolute Idiot.
This could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
This guy's done everything right. He's raised his family right. He's fought his way all the way to the top of the Harvard Law Review in a blind test, becomes head of the review, the top editor there. Everything he's done is clean as a whistle. He's never not only broken any law, he's never done anything wrong. He's the perfect father, the perfect husband, the perfect American. And all they do is trash the guy. And it's impossible for me to believe they would have said the same thing about a Walter Mondale or a Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton. There's an ethnic piece to this. It's very hard to nail it down because they always cover it in ideology. But I've never heard anybody in this country call its opponent regularly anti-American or non-American.
Hey everybody, welcome to News Busted. I'm Jody Miller. Let's get started. Mitt Romney released tax returns showing he gave $4 million to charity last year. And liberals are outraged. You know, that Romney didn't send all that money straight to Washington. The first presidential debate is next week. And you know what that means? The mainstream media has already declared Obama the winner. Obamacare will raise taxes on 6 million middle-class people. The mainstream media is waiting for Mitt Romney to make a statement on the matter so they can blame the tax hike on him. France has closed 20 Middle East embassies, fearing a backlash against a newspaper that printed a Mohammed cartoon. But France says they're not closing the embassies. They're just pre-surrendering. Hillary Clinton appeared in a Pakistani TV ad apologizing for a YouTube video which had nothing to do with causing Middle East violence. Ironically, Hillary's TV ad did cause Muslim rioting because she wasn't wearing a burqa. President Obama said he learned he can't change Washington from the inside, but that doesn't stop him from always blaming Bush from the inside. Paris Hilton was caught on tape making anti-gay comments, but most of the media are waiting to find out whether she supports Obama before they criticize her. And finally, a French court ordered the publishers of those news photos of Kate Middleton to hand over all copies. And then Bill Clinton demanded the same thing. Thanks for watching News Lesson, everybody. I'm Jody Miller. Be sure to subscribe to our videos on YouTube. We'll catch you next time.
Cookie and talk about your day. Or we could take a walk down by the ocean. I heard those hip openers release a lot of emotion. It's all good though, you know, like either way. You feel like going with me?
Nah, I'm a stay.
Hey, yo, girl. I just wanna know you, girl. When you do your chaturanga, do your toes curl?
Guy, but just not my scene. I think your third eye could maybe use some Visine. Your breathing sounds just a little heavy, cool guy. You need to come to class and learn some ujjayi. I know you see me every single day like groundhog, and I appreciate it, but I'm not down, dog. I'm gonna grab a coconut water and be on my way. I wish you peace and blessings. Namaste.
Hey, yo, girl. I just wanna know.
Love to get to know ya. I got a couple next level poses I can show ya. My first choice, rub lotion on my stiff joint. It's thoughts of you that keep my man Duca Matt moist. Your aura's glowing, your Taria steady flowing. I signed you up for my newsletter without you knowing. I wanna fly your whole posse to Varanasi, or we can go to Goa and sip some mango lassi. Cause I love it when you call me Big Baba. I wanna explore your Bodhisattva, unblock my chakras. You got my fourth level exposed. when you fold them Lululemons in a bow pose. You're like a model with that metal water bottle always with you, trying to be sleepy fish. Straight up. Hey, yo, girl.
DJ Dave, Smog and Fog with Yoga Girl, right here on Reese on the Radio, bottom of the hour, 30 minutes after the hour, on this September 26, 2012. You can look for that monologue that I gave about Jim Acosta. I'm going to put it up on ReeseOnTheRadio.com in case you missed it, if you did miss it, so you'll be able to hear it as many times as you want to. Yes, I use the word nigga often, because I can. There's no fear about using that word. Never have. It's one of my favorite words other than motherfucker. That is clearly my favorite. So it's actually Sally Field's favorite curse word, I hear. That's from the actor's studio. I heard she said that. Anyway, before I get into the next thing I want to talk about, and that's that old haggard broad, Madonna. Before I get into that, I was talking yesterday. I realized that I didn't mention it. I mentioned it yesterday. I brought it up. But I didn't fully go into it, because I said I would at the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, and I didn't do it. I was talking about I have a new vice, and I realized today that I didn't mention it because I said I would, and then if there was some people out there who was wondering what the hell am I talking about. My new vice is this TV show on CBS that has all of the 7 seasons on Netflix right now. And I don't know if you've watched it, but I am in love with this show. I mean, I am so – I've never been more hooked on a show since Grounded for Life and Still Standing. And if anybody remembers those shows, you'll know what I'm talking about. But this show – because I like shows that have to do with sort of like families, relationships, and stuff like that. But this show is called Rules of Engagement. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it. I don't know if anyone really watches it. But I love this show. And there are, I would say, 3 people on this show who drive the show for me. And that's David Spade, Patrick Warburton, and the Indian guy who I always forget his name, but his first name is Adhir. And I love the comedy on this show. The girls play an okay role. They're all right. The other guy who plays Adam, his name is Oliver something. I'm not really – he's all right. He's some funny. He plays the, you know, kind of the fool on the show. He's the, you know, pratfalls and silliness. You know, he's the – you know, he's the dumb one. He's the dim bulb on the show. That, for me, sometimes can get a little boring, but I love the way these guys rip on each other. It's a real, real – it's a real show about guys razzing each other in the most brutal ways. And it's just funny. It's one of my favorite shows. And I think if you get a chance, just watch it. I think that they're going to do a 7th season or 8th season, something like that. But if you get a chance to watch it, please do. David Spade is the funniest I've ever seen him on any show ever. I'm kind of he's like a – I have a weird sort of liking to David Spade because every show, TV show he's been on, even when he joined 8 Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, he was hilarious on that. I know it's the same classic – David Spade character, it always is, but it's a character I never get tired of. When he was on that show, Just Shoot Me, I loved his character on that show. He was the belle of the ball on that show. He stole every scene that he was in. But I really, really a big fan of David Spade in a weird way, and I love Patrick Warburton. That guy's my hero. Love his voice, love his delivery, and it's just one of those shows that I really, really like. So if you get a chance to, I'm just endorsing it. It's something, if you have Netflix and you want to watch something funny, just watch any, it doesn't matter where you start on this show. Just watch it. You'll get the gist of it. Every time you watch an episode, you know who's who. You know who they are, what their roles are, what they do. You know, you get that whole sense of it. But the dialogue on that show for 20 minutes, it's some of the funniest stuff I've heard in a long time. So I'm really, really a big fan. I'm so hooked on it. I promised Mary I wouldn't watch any more episodes without her, but I'm so hooked I've totally seen like 18 episodes without her. She's going to be pissed off about that. And, of course, I say that while she's on the phone with us now. Mary, why are you bugging?
Hello, my dear.
Take your phone off mute.
Okay, she's probably trying to.
Okay, no, I'm here. I had you, I was on mute. You watched 18 episodes after you said, oh, I'm not going to watch anymore until we can watch them together. Well, whatever, it is a great show. It's really a great show for married couples as well, single or married. It's a great show, and if you're married, watch it with your spouse, because it is hilarious, and something fun that you and your spouse can do.
Yeah, I think I just love everything about that show. What's your deal? When are you going to be here for the show?
I am actually about 3 blocks away.
Okay, well, I guess that I'll see you when you get here. Yes,
yeah,
I can hear you.
I'll see you shortly.
Okay, you got it. All right. Now, let me talk about this old hag, Madonna. Now, this is the first time you're ever going to hear this about Madonna, coming from my lips. I'm so happy that this old hag finally said what's on her mind, and which is always the truth about libs, about radical, idiotic liberals. She finally just up and told what she believes. And no one can say anything different. What she believes is what she believes. And now, because she's getting hate for it, she's backing off. And if you didn't hear, you know what she said. But if you didn't hear it for yourself, here it is. And when I laugh, what makes me laugh, is that the biddies over at The View, they're not too happy about what she said either, because they like her and they hate having to razz her about this. But this is what she said in D.C. The other night.
It's so amazing and incredible to think that we have an African-American in the White House. Y'all better talk to Obama, okay? We have a black liberal in the White House.
Now, Madonna says she was being ironic, but added that she doesn't care what religion Obama is, and neither should anyone else in America.
Well, but the problem is because he stated that he is a Christian. So I can't tell you being ironic. That's why she got the backlash. Right. You didn't make any motion to say, okay, I'm being ironic or I'm being sarcastic or a wink or anything. So I think you're leading a lot of people on, making people think, oh, he's a Muslim, which he's been getting a lot of backlash.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't helpful. But also, she was being very ghetto there. You know, she was very
she was so mad.
Ghetto. What was the affect going on?
I thought she looked like one of the seven dwarfs in mourning.
The look was there, but also you have to take it as a package. She seems so. You look at the hat. That's good. But you know, she's like affecting this persona there. That's kind of the whole thing taken together. I don't know how that's supposed to be helpful to the president.
Well, she's supposed to go like this. He's an African American Muslim.
But
do that. Then everybody knows it's not true.
Is that what an African American supposed to sound like?
Well,
everybody
has a whole thing. You know, folks like to imitate black folks.
You know what she's about? Now, what I don't understand is she's supposed to help the president. What I really, really love about that is that people believe, on The View at least, are under the impression that people are going to believe Madonna, as if she has some sort of power of persuasion. Really? Really? People out there who heard that at the concert are now going to believe that he's a Muslim because Madonna says so? Madonna? Really? Aren't we giving this hag a little too much credibility? Believe? That's the part that just flipped me out. And speaking of The View, this is something I have to bring up. I know this is an old story. He was on The View the other day, the President of the United States. Of course, they have to talk about that because they're so damn excited about it, about him being there. But they have a conversation about people who are upset about the President of the United States showing up at The View and not speaking to the press or speaking to foreign leaders at the UN. Elizabeth wasn't there. And the guy you heard speaking is Chris Cuomo of 2020, ABC News, Nightline, all that other stuff. His brother is, of course, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York. Listen to the conversation between these idiots. And I'm sorry. I don't really mean Chris Cuomo. I've got a couple of issues with you. I've had them in the past. I don't really want to lump you in here. But unfortunately, you got kind of, but you did say something intelligent here. I'll give him some credit. He did say something intelligent here. But he should have never used the word jealous. But I'll let you hear it for yourself. This is their conversation. They opened the show with this.
The Obama's visit was not without controversy. I mean, Mitt Romney said he was, quote, troubled that the president came here instead of meeting with the leaders at the UN. Perhaps he wasn't aware that the president did go speak to the folks at the UN and, in fact, spoke to lots of people. He didn't come to New York to hang with us. Okay? He was actually here to go to the UN. We happen to be on the agenda. Just pointing it out. But why does it have to be? The Obama's visit was not without controversy. I mean, Mitt Romney said he was, quote, troubled that the president came here instead of meeting with the leaders at the UN. Perhaps he wasn't aware that the president did go speak to the folks at the UN and, in fact, spoke to lots of people. He didn't come to New York to hang with us.
He didn't speak to anyone independently. Like the more than 13 people that he met with last year and had a unilateral conversation with privately, like Hillary Clinton did, obviously misinformed, Whoopi Goldberg. And the audience eats this up and laughs like she's telling the truth, and they should know better. Or don't they? Whatever. Moving on.
Okay. He was actually here to go to the UN. We happen to be on the agenda.
No, you didn't happen to be on the agenda. They put themselves on the agenda. Because they love to get up there on The View and talk about Kim Kardashian's fat ass instead of talking about the fact Ambassador Chris Stevens was murdered on 9/11 and these bozos had a 24-hour window to get him security and did nothing. That's just me. But go on.
Just pointing it out. But why do they have to be so nasty to us? I mean, there's a guy,
Yeah, they're nasty to you because you're pieces of trash. Especially you, Joy Behar. That's why they're nasty to you. Now, then she tries to rip into Greg Gutfeld of The Five and Fox News.
His name was Greg Gutfeld on Fox. His quote was, it's better for O to talk to foreign policy rather than those biddies on The View.
Everyone's shocked. Those biddies. He called them. He didn't call you bitches. He said biddies. Like now all of a sudden nobody knows what a biddy is, an old biddy? That's what you are. A bunch of biddies gossiping at the table at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Now, I got a biddy for you, man. Come see me. I'll show you biddy.
Whoopi, you can't fight. I'll put it like this. Whoopi can fight as well as she dresses. Let's just leave it at that. Okay? Whoopi can fight as well as she keeps her hair. How about that? If Whoopi's fighting style was comparative to her personal style, she'd get her ass whipped every day. No style. Literally. Whoopi Goldberg looks like a homeless person shopped at Target.
That's what she looks like. Anyway, moving on.
I looked up the word Bitty. It's a housekeeper or a nursemaid. So you know Schwarzenegger's watching. But anyway.
Mad joy.
Anyway, it's
a housekeeper?
Yeah.
No, hold on.
Now, we don't want to take it there, do we?
Wasn't he
coming to see the help?
He was trying to be mildly disparaging, but the criticism comes from a real place. And here's what it is, right? Because I'm a journalist.
Yes, you are.
There is jealousy that the opportunity is being had by you all instead of by me.
Right?
Jealousy? See, this is where Chris Cuomo completely loses it. Get off the teat of The View. Jealous? Do you really think that the people, legitimate newsmen, are jealous? They're appalled. They're outraged that the President of the United States would show up at The View, what, 4 times already? 5 times? What is it, every year? Every other month? I need to reach the American people. Perhaps I'll go on The View. That's where America watches. I'll go on The View. And then I'll go on Letterman and Leno. That's what America's watching. I'm not going to talk to the people who are going to ask me real serious questions because I can't answer serious questions. I'll go on air and maybe talk about some Hot Pockets and maybe Kim Kardashian's ass and whether or not Kanye West is a jackass. I'll go there. That's where the hard news is.
Because we want the president, because we want to take him on these tough things, and we feel that maybe he gets a pass when he comes here.
Okay, let me just...
Maybe he gets a pass, Chris? Maybe? Maybe? Okay, whatever.
Remind everybody that when POTUS and
Florida...
No, no, I'm not hating you. I'm not hating you. I'm not having no hate with you.
I'm feeling a little bit of a hate.
I just want to point out that the president has given many interviews to many reporters on this very network.
What? What? Wait. When's the last conversation the president's had with George Stephanopoulos? Anyone? When was the last conversation he had with David Carl? Jake Tapper? Last conversation I remember he had with someone at ABC News, it may have been Diane Sawyer, and if it wasn't Diane Sawyer, it was Robin Roberts to affirm that he was for gay marriage. Anyone?
Never
enough.
But we're not claiming to be journalists. We're claiming to be people who are part of our audience. Our audience knows us, and that's why there are so many of us with different opinions, and that's why he comes here, because he knows there are going to be different. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. We didn't ask softball questions, or we asked some good questions.
Are you serious? Really? Barbara Walters asked, what are you going to do after you leave office? Really? Serious question? The only person there you left the hard news to was Hasselbeck.
Don't disparage. We also have Barbara Walters, who is a very respected journalist, sitting right on this couch.
Bitty.
Exactly. But also these are people running for president. This is not anything new. They always make those stops to show you, they've been on other shows dancing.
They've been on other shows dancing. Who was that? Obama. Mm-hmm. On other shows dancing. Dancing on Ellen. What else you got, Sherry?
On the show playing a dog on saxophone.
That was Clinton, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clinton playing the saxophone.
Uh-huh. This has been done for many, many years.
Right. By liberals. And Clinton was not the president of the United States when he played saxophone on Arsenio Hall show. He was a candidate. It was in 1992. Remember? Or maybe you don't.
I don't know what...
He says they're jealous.
Right, a show that says na 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 about getting an interview with the president.
Right. Yeah.
Brilliantly done, View. Brilliantly done. I don't even know why I watch that program, but I get agitated
every time I do it. And I see it every time and I go to watch it and I go, why are you going to watch these broads? You're only going to get furious. You're only going to get pissed off. Why do you do it? And you know why? It's because I live to be annoyed. It's just who it is that I am.
Dennis in Massachusetts, how are you doing today, sir?
Well, I got to tell you, for one nigger, you're certainly entertaining with that buck and jive.
All right, we only use the F word, but you're absolutely right.
No, I did. That was a cheap shot because I like to hear you laugh. We white folks like to have blacks entertain us.
Hey, you know that's what I'm here for.
Seriously, I mean, these broads haven't a clue about politics. They're just yap, you know, harridans, in my opinion. And the audience that goes there are just as bad. And unfortunately, this is what America has come to.
When I look at them on The View, and this is how I believe that they really, really show prep. I think that they get in there roughly about 8, 9 o'clock, maybe a couple of hours before the show. They sit in, they give them a couple of things that they're going to discuss on Hot Topics. They tell them what celebrity they're going to be talking to. Maybe they're giving a book a couple of weeks in advance to read to get some background on. But when it comes to like each and every one of these regular topics in the news, I think they read what they read from that article. Maybe it's the New York Times. Maybe it's the Huffington Post. They get out there, they're uninformed or misinformed. They never have any background. And every time I hear them talk, I go, wait a minute, like you really know nothing about this story. And they're reacting. I see this personally. I see this show reacting to what they read in the local paper. I mean, if it's in the Daily News, the New York Times, or the Post, they're covering it.
Let me ask you this. Could you see Harry Truman going on this show?
Absolutely not. Hey, I couldn't see Bush on that show.
Couldn't see who?
I couldn't see Herbert Walker or George W. Bush showing up on that show during their presidency?
Mm-hmm. And Clinton even wouldn't go on a show as president.
Oh, absolutely not. Exactly. Well, that's because Clinton didn't need it. You know, that's the one thing about Bill Clinton. He didn't need it. But, you know, we're talking about a very desperate president who understands his celebrity, very involved in it, very, you know, he's not oblivious
to the fact that...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely a narcissist. But...
I mean, we're a couple of minutes away from Armageddon. And the president of the United States, I mean... You know, it's in a couple of weeks, Reese, before you were born, and I remember it, the 50th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Jack Kennedy going on a program like that?
No.
And this is what we're facing. The Hitler of Iran has said he's going to wipe out Israel. In the Midwest, we're facing... very serious food shortages because of the drought. North Korea is waxing to take us out with the Taepodong missiles. So many things on the table. And yet this narcissist in the White House has time to go golfing, go on Letterman's show, on Jay Leno's show, on The View, and any place else where they can get a quick ha-ha-ha, chuckle-chuckle.
Right.
And the problem is, Mittens isn't taking them a task. He's my opponent's a nice guy, but rather misinformed and not running the country right mode. You got to go for the jugular. Grow a pair, for Christ's sake.
And that's what it is that I would do. But you know what? Mitt Romney would not attack The View publicly because he believes that would affect the women vote because so many women
watch. Well, that's how Mitt is.
Say again?
You saw Mitt when he was governor. You saw how it was.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I know what Mitt
said. He's just an over-refined gentleman.
Exactly.
But he's going to show the American people he wants the job.
Yes, exactly. But if I were Mitt Romney, I would have just openly said, you know, look, this is – look, there is nothing against The View. The View is there. They have their viewers. They have their ratings. People love that show.
But there's a time and place for it, and this is not the time, and this is not the place.
It's undignified for a sitting president during times of crisis to go on an entertainment show or to talk to People Magazine or to talk to Entertainment Tonight. This is not the time to do that. You know, I understand it's in re-election mode, but this isn't the time to do that. If you want to show the American people that you deserve a second term, you do it by actions, not by interviews.
But the problem with Barack Obama, since 20 January of 4 years ago, he's been in re-election mode.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree
he's
more.
He's never left it. He's never left re-election mode. And, you know, the so-called black newspaper people, they never question why his policies, Barack Obama's, hurt the very people they seem to want to champion. Barack Obama had the perfect government for his first 2 years. What the hell was done for black people? No one ever asks him.
But there's a reason for that.
Of course there's a reason for it.
No.
You know it, and I know it.
No, the major reason is not because, listen, it is not because of that we need to keep propping up the president in any way that we can.
I wasn't going to say that.
Okay, there's an underlying reason for this, and that is that it is the Uncle Tom response to that kind of criticism. And these black newspapers believe that their constituents, their readers, they believe that if you were to give the President of the United States hard, tough, real questions that he cannot answer or hold him to task, they would say, why are you airing our dirty laundry? You saw what they did to Bill Cosby, you know?
Yep.
Here's Bill Cosby, an American icon who's got the stats to prove that he's an icon from I Spy. I mean, what? Forget about I Spy. Even
and plenty
that,
of free jello to give away.
Right, as a comedian, you know, as a comedian, an educated black man who, you know, pretty much crossed the racial, you know, boundaries of his own quote unquote, you know, of his own society, moved into the mainstream, is the, you know, one of the first black men on primetime television, you know, gets a kids' TV show, then gets, you know, the Cosby Show. It's the most.
He was a pioneer.
He was a pioneer. This guy's got literally got legs. His whole career's got legs. He comes out and says, look, the African-American community needs to step up to the plate and join mainstream America, do better for their kids, do better for themselves. And a nobody named Michael Eric Dyson comes out, writes a book, and he's on every program to crap on Bill Cosby. And the networks let him. Because what he did was, and he said was, it wasn't right for Bill Clinton to air our dirty laundry. What do you mean, air our dirty laundry? Do you think nobody else sees it? And that's what the problem is with these.
Hear white people saying that whites are airing their own dirty laundry. This is where I would tell black people, grow up. You want to be treated equal, for Christ's sake, grow up and be a man. Be the men your fathers were.
In order
be the men that your fathers were in Selma when Bull Connor sprayed you guys and out to kill you.
Exactly.
Throw a pair of balls, for Christ's sake. And stop bitching about the white man. Do it yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not going to happen in the current state of affairs. It's just not going to happen. It's disgusting, but it's absolutely true. You know, it's sad, but, you know, that's what it is. Anyway, let's go to the top of the hour.
You're only a crossover guy.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to talk about this woman. Her name is, and I got to make sure I get it right because I'm probably going to forget, Cindy Lee Garcia. I don't know whether or not you guys know exactly who she is, But she was also on The View today, and I have to talk about her because she is the actress that's involved with the Muslim film that President Obama claims is the genesis of all of this, what do you call it, this, I guess this Arab fall or Arab rage that's happening in the country. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Can be devastating to your ear.
I love it. I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
I see some black people looking at me. Man, it ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking shit, okay? Okay? When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, ish. Ted Koppel ain't never took this from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run.
Reese on the Radio. We're back 2 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is September 26, 2012. Again, like I said, opening monologue today. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, of course, you can always check back here at blogtalkradio.com / Reese on the Radio, or you can check reeseontheradio.com. Well, I will post it. If not tonight, it'll be up tomorrow morning. We'll have it up there for you to listen to. Okay, so this woman, a lot of people don't know her. I didn't know what her name was. I just know that there were stories out there that this woman was speaking to the media. And her name is Cindy Lee Garcia. Now, I learned a couple of things about her today that I didn't know. That's because I didn't really pay attention to the story. As we all know, no one thinks that this Muslim film, The Innocence of Muslims, this YouTube trailer, had anything to do with the assassination of Chris Stevens, the UN ambassador in Libya, in Benghazi. Now, it still remains to be seen whether or not this video had anything to do with the uprising in Cairo. We do know that there have been so many people that have been talking about it. It's the video, it's the video, it's the video. And everybody's turning around and going, there's a video of disrespecting the Prophet Muhammad? And they're uprising too. So it's because of the promotion of all of this that is now getting everyone else in harm's way because the president can't stop talking about it. So, which I find ridiculous. But this particular woman went out there while everybody else went into hiding. This woman, Cindy Lee Garcia, went straight out and started talking to the press. Now, I can go several ways with this story. But let me first say this. What do I believe when you are being attacked? Always go on the offensive. Someone's trying to discredit you. Someone's trying to besmirch your personality, your reputation, whatever. You go on the attack. You don't defend anything. No one ever won anything by defending it. You go on the assault. And you attack them where they live. That's the way I look at it. I play that, that Chicago way piece all the time from Sean Connery. You know, he brings a knife, you bring a gun. Puts one of yours in the hospital, you put one of his in a morgue. That's the Chicago way. That's the Reese on the Radio way. You never, ever back down. You go out there and you cut their jugular, figuratively. But you go on the attack. You go in for the kill, figuratively. But you still do. Now, Cindy Lee Garcia was on The View today talking to Chris Cuomo, and I'm happy that he spoke to her, that Chris Cuomo spoke to her, as opposed to the rest of these morons on The View. But I want you to hear a part of the conversation that took place, if you missed it. Because, as I said, look, I think it's important for you to go on the attack. You always go on the attack. When you are being besmirched, if your reputation is being besmirched, you have to go on the attack. But after I play the audio, I want to tell you something that I realized when I saw it. You may not see this or hear this, but I really, really listened to this a couple of times, and I'm certain of my first inclination here. Here's the interview.
Now, many in this country and around the world are still reeling from the deaths of the U.S. ambassador to Libya, J. Christopher Stevens. You remember the story about the attacks there. He wound up dead. At least 40 others have died in massive protests, allegedly inspired by an anti-Islamic film called Innocence of Muslims. It is a film that Muslims believe was directed at them. It is intentional hate speech, and it set off these things. We have later learned that the person who made this film did it as somewhat of a sham, especially to the other actors in the film. They didn't know what was going on. There are now death threats. Many are in hiding. Mm. But Cindy Lee Garcia, who is in the film, has come out to speak about what really happened and what is known, and it's very important. Happy to have you here with us today. Thank you for joining us. So, let's deal with what must be said. Tell us, what did you think this film was? Did you know that it was going to be anti-Muslim?
Not at all. When I received a casting call to come out to be auditioned for the film was called Desert Warriors, and it was based on an adventure film 2,000 years ago in the desert. And while we were on set filming, there was sword fighting. I was had my script for my roles. That was the only script that I had. Never once was mentioned Muhammad or Muslim, or even we weren't given any inkling that there was any of that going on. Mm-hmm. Sam Bassell, as I knew him, the producer, the writer, he let us know that he was so happy that he wrote this film, mm-hmm. and he was constantly asking us, how do you like it? And it was fun. There was so much that I was left in the dark to, you know, until I finally did see the 14-minute clip, which was a year later, because I kept trying to pull up my look for my IMDb credits mm-hmm. under Desert Warriors, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so
interesting to note, you were new to acting.
Yes, I'm very new.
This was a $500 part. You had a relatively small role.
Trying to build up a resume, and I love acting. I love Hollywood. You know, I'm also a minister. I've been watching a long time. You know, and I have a talent for acting, for action and drama. So,
well, just like Chris was saying, this film has caused massive unrest. There have been deaths, protests, yes. and a lot of the actors in the film have been getting death threats, including you. You've had to go into hiding. They've gone into hiding.
No, I haven't went into hiding.
You've not gone into hiding.
She's
but
right
the,
here.
The, thank you, Chris. The other actors have gone into hiding.
Yeah, had to correct that idiot. She's sitting in front of you, stupid. You see how dumb these idiots are? It's absolute stupid. She's sitting in front of you, stupid, on national television. She's gone into hiding.
About Sherry. Come on.
You can't get dumber than that.
I mean, but you are speaking out publicly. Is there a reason why you're coming out publicly?
I'm coming out publicly because I don't want the Muslim world to think that America is behind this. I don't want them to think that I am behind this. I'm a pastor of a church. I have been a pastor for over 15 years, and my congregation knows me, that I love Christ, that I've never taught them to hate other religions or other people's beliefs.
And you've done interviews that have been shown, right, in
yes.
the Middle East, so people know that this was not the film you thought you were making, because if you watch it, it's very clear that it has been dubbed over.
Exactly.
You know, you can see that what
what is being said is not what is being said by the actors. But have you contacted any of the imams here to sit down with them and show them how it was dubbed over so that they can spread the word? Because I think most people don't know much about movie making. They don't know how that works. So would that be helpful, contacting the Muslim community?
I have spoken with the Middle East at least 4 times, and I have got good response from so many Muslims. They said, we believe you. We could tell from your heart when you were speaking that what you were saying, your words, that you're truthful and honest. And it was beautiful to me to get that response. So many of them responded to me. And
it's also really not your responsibility if you think about it. I mean, you're a victim in this situation. Basil, fake name, his real name is Nakula. He's in hiding. He needs to come up because he was too much of a coward to be open about what he was trying to do.
Right.
And he created things that created violence.
He wouldn't be able to get actors.
That's right. And ignorance, he needs to be held to account
for
this.
And yet, Cindy, right, you will say that you forgive him.
Of course I forgive
him. Because you're a good Christian woman?
Because God commands us to forgive.
Yeah.
And he will answer to God one day himself. I spoke with Sam Bissell the day everything broke loose in Libya. I had him logged into my cell phone. And
what did he say?
Well, after I saw everything on the news, I called him and I said, why did you do this to us? And he said, Cindy, I said, because all the broadcasting networks are coming at me. He said, tell the world you're innocent. Tell them that he did this, that he was tired of the radical Muslims killing innocent people, and that he was from Israel.
But then why do you
mean
just for them?
He wasn't even from Israel, was he?
I don't believe anything he says.
He wasn't
because the question becomes then, if you feel like that, then you stand up and take the heat. Because what you basically did was you made a movie that cost other people their lives.
Right. 47 people at least have been killed in those riots.
Yeah.
More, maybe more. I mean, he is responsible for part of that.
I would like to say something.
I need not play anymore.
Well, first of all, he's not responsible for causing anything. Anybody in this country can say and do, well, can say whatever they want. There's freedom of speech. I'm not saying that the man wasn't wrong for shifting these people, these actors and actresses, and making them think that they were making a totally different movie, and then dubbing over it or whatever. He went down, he took the wrong avenue to get his message out, okay?
Absolutely.
If that was your message and that's what you wanted to do, then you should have got on TV. You should have made a YouTube video of yourself.
Right.
Spewing whatever rhetoric you wanted to spew because you can, because you are a free American living in this country.
Right.
However, you cannot turn around these Sherry Shepherd and those stupid morons on The View, except for Hasselbeck's wife, and I didn't really like her before either, but she seems to be the only one that makes half of a lick of sense at any point in time on the show. You know, he shouldn't be held responsible
for people killing other people.
For people killing other people.
Exactly.
And if that's the case, then we would have to, you know, then Smith and Wesson should be responsible.
Oh, they believe that too.
For every, you know, murder that is committed by someone that uses one of their guns.
That's what they believe, though.
For, you know, the makers of cigarettes. All of these.
They believe that, though.
The makers of alcohol.
They believe
all
that.
All of these things that are legal.
They believe that.
No more is it some. No more can anybody do something because
they
of
cannot
their choice.
Right, right. No, they don't believe that. This is another liberal tactic. I'm glad you said all of that because you're right on point about all. It doesn't even need to be said. But this is what I want to bring up about Cindy Lee Garcia. Now, a lot of people on this show are talking about how she is a victim here. She's clearly a victim for what it is that they did to her voice, dubbing over it. Clearly a victim here. Okay, and I want to, because her lawyer is on this audio as well. And I'm going to play what her lawyer says. But let me explain something that a lot of people are not paying attention to. Cindy Lee Garcia is a vain woman. And this woman wants to be an actor. She wants to be an actress.
Oh,
and she is using
this. She
has
a motive.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody knows that she has an ulterior motive, because if you didn't have an ulterior motive, why in the hell, if everyone in the country and across the world is, you know, saying that it's this video's fault, your ass would be in hiding, okay? You wouldn't be out in the media talking about, I'm the victim and this isn't my fault.
Right.
I was victimized, but I am a wonderful actress and I need to get my name out there. My name is Miss Garcia Lopez,
yes,
or whatever
exactly.
Your name is. Hire me. I'll work for $500.
That's all this is. She got paid $500. She has a relatively small part. Nobody even knows she's in the film. Here's the part that makes me laugh, is that she says that she went on IMDb.com, InternetMovieDatabase.com, to look up her credits. The girl got paid $500.
What credit do you think you're going to get?
She's freaking woman number two.
Make a Wikipedia page.
She was woman number three, looking at, and she, all she was looking for was her vanity.
And she clearly said, I'm trying to build my resume.
Exactly.
And you dumbass ladies on The View helping my cause.
That's exactly what it is she's doing. Now, I'm going to play the rest because her lawyer then comes on. And her lawyer says something interesting, and I'd like to bring this up for discussion because I'd love to hear what you think about this as far as the law is concerned. Because they are going to sue this Egyptian.
Jew.
No, he's Egyptian.
He says he's from Israel.
No, they found out who he is. He's a Coptic Christian from Egypt.
She said that he said
originally he told them he was from Israel. But he is a Coptic Christian from Egypt. His family still lives there. But here's the rest of the audio. And I believe
are
the Lord...
Are they still alive?
Yeah, he says his family is in hiding in Egypt as well. Anyway, but here's what I think the lawyer's coming up pretty soon.
Something about our ambassador. You know, he loves the Libyan people.
Yes,
when I saw his face, he was in his element. He was happy. He was doing something he loved. He was committed. And my heart was out to his family.
Now, Cindy, we have in our audience your attorney, Chris Armenta. And, Chris, you and Cindy, you're suing the filmmaker for fraud and slander, and you're suing YouTube to force them to take the film completely off the web. Now, how come you think this film has got to come down?
Well, it's been asked whether it's a First Amendment right, and I think what people forget is there is a First Amendment right to say what you think. But there's also a First Amendment right to not be forced to say that which you don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what's happened here. Someone put words in Cindy Lee Garcia's mouth to make her look like a religious bigot, and she isn't. So what we're doing is providing YouTube and Google the most non-controversial political vehicle and the easiest legal vehicle to get the content off the web, and we really believe we're going to succeed in that.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it doesn't get caught up in the traditional notions of the First Amendment, allowing everything to be out there as an idea, because she was made to say things that were not her own words.
Right.
It's an important point. Cindy,
I wasn't made to say them. They dubbed it.
Absolutely. Important distinction.
Now, that's an interesting argument that they have here.
But did she sign a waiver?
Aha! I knew you were going to bring that up. I'm so glad you see that's exactly what I expected.
And if she signed a... Okay, so I understand that, you know, what she actually said, what was recorded from her mouth, is not what was played or viewed.
Right, exactly. In the movie, in and
movie.
Of itself.
Okay.
Right.
However, if we are going to start, aside from that, if we are going to start saying, like, the lawyer said something about, you know, because it makes her look like a bigot and so on. How many actors and actresses play roles in movies that make them look like total douchebags,
absolutely,
total bigots,
absolutely,
total, you know, Archie Bunker?
Sure.
For Christ's sake.
Yeah, but no. Remember, there's the argument that you know, Archie Bunker signed on for the role for this specific reason. But, you know, you are bringing up a very valid point.
Which happens to be my third cousin, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll talk
Carol
about
O'Connor.
That. Oh, okay. The bottom line is that this is a release form is what it is that you sign, which pretty much gives license to the producer, the director, whomever, to do
modify
whatever it is that they want to what it is that you record.
Exactly.
And it's legally binding, and that is a very strong argument. And we brought this up before when we talked about the
diabetes.
Right, the young black man in California who's an actor was imitated in a print ad for diabetes in New York City
on a billboard
for crying out loud. And he said he was so shocked and so hurt, but he had no legal recourse to defend that because he signed a release that pretty much says, we can use your photo for anything that we wish.
Yeah.
You know, you got paid, you know, so what we use it for is, you know, that's our discretion.
And he probably had no idea that that the waiver even said that. All people sign.
Exactly.
All they see is money or a check or whatever, and you sign. And because you think to yourself, how, you know, why would anybody ever do anything, to, you know, something that I would personally deem despicable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course you don't think that people are going to do that, but hey, guess what? It's a dog-eat-dog world, honey.
Oh, I got a question.
Sure.
Does she even have an agent yet? I'm sure she does.
At this particular point, I would, well, she has a lawyer. I don't know if she has an agent.
That would be her agent, more than likely.
Only credit is this movie. So I wouldn't suggest that, I wouldn't even suggest that she had an agent at this point. I mean, right now she's in damage control. I mean, in her words, she's in damage control, that she believes that her name is being dragged through the mud. But no one has ever.
But you missed something, Reese.
Tell me.
And this is where you need to learn Arabic. Didn't you hear all the protesters screaming? They were screaming, "We demand the death of actress number three, woman number three."
That's what I'm saying. No one is. The only person, if you talk about President Morsi, who made public statements just recently, he was.
He mentioned woman number three, too. Or was it Chanel number five? I didn't know.
President Morsi of Egypt was asking for the arrest of the filmmaker. He wasn't asking for the arrest of the people who were in the film. So for me, what Cindy Lee Garcia is talking about is bogus.
And it was asking that we pass a law.
Right, absolutely. That, you know,
and the United, that we change our constitution to suit him.
Screw him and the horse he came on.
That damn camel he rode in on.
Edward.
Hey, I had one point I wanted to make. If woman number three, if she can sue because someone put words in her mouth to make her look like she said something she didn't believe in, couldn't Zimmerman sue because Hot Mess NBC made it seem like he was a racist?
What? That's right. Couldn't George Zimmerman do the same with the two NBC producers, the local NBC and the Today Show, who edited him saying that he offered up the information that Trayvon Martin was black, and they edited out the fact that he was asked. And you're absolutely right, because that would say they, in essence, they did put words in his mouth.
And that they were saying that he was saying the N-word, and he wasn't.
Right, exactly. CNN could be sued for that same thing. So that would be defamation and slander as well.
I mean, we'd
have
to.
She signed the friggin' release. What the hell more does she want?
Her situation would be different. I mean, she started a damn movie.
Right. She was paid. She signed a release form. But Edward makes it very, very strong.
Well, we don't know if she signed a release.
Well, she had to.
But we don't know that. That's an assumption. That's something that no one has.
But you know what? That Linda Blair is due a lot of damn money, because that was never her voice in any of that Exorcist crap.
What movie maker do you know would make a movie without having a release for everybody in an entity?
I think it's fair to make the assumption.
Yeah, but
that
how
she,
much of a movie maker is this guy? Has he done things like, what has he done?
I don't believe that he really wasn't
too much of a movie maker, because it seemed like it was shot up against a green screen at Chromacy.
Right.
You know, you can buy one of those off of Amazon.com.
Obviously, we're not talking about some, you know, and probably obviously he doesn't have any previous experience. This is his first go round as well.
Right.
So maybe he didn't have them sign a release form. Maybe he didn't look into the legalities of that.
If that were the case,
maybe
then
he just
wouldn't...
had an agenda and you know,
but as a
lawyer and kept moving.
As a lawyer, I believe that the same movie.
Are we talking about the same movie that the internet movie that I was kind of like in and out? The internet movie about Muhammad, where he had a little black buckwheat looking like Muhammad?
To be honest with you, I don't think that's... It's not a movie. It's a 14-minute clip.
And
yeah, 14-minute clip, right.
That's the one.
So, and the movie 9/11. I never saw it. Wasn't that made out to be, you know, wasn't it... Didn't they portray in the movie that Bush caused 9/11?
Well, Fahrenheit 9/11?
Yeah.
Well, I can't say that they did that. What he did was he took news clips and had faulty news clips in his documentary.
The documentary is completely different because, again, the faulty clips that he used was like, okay, perfect example. Outside of the Capitol building, he spoke to a congressman coming out of the building. And Michael Moore walks up to him and asks, he's asking a bunch of congressmen and representatives about whether or not they have any kids who are enrolled in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to one guy and he puts the microphone and says, do you have any relatives that are in the military? And the congressman stops, looks at him, and sort of gives him a dumbfounded look. It's cut immediately after. It gets a big laugh in the movie. But that congressman ended up on Fox News, I think like a week or two later, and talked about that video and said that he told Michael Moore that his nephew was in Afghanistan at the time. And Michael Moore heard him say that. He said it on camera, and Michael Moore edited it out.
Okay,
so
but he has no legal defense.
Again?
Because he's a public figure.
Right, exactly. And exactly. But Michael Moore made it appear as though he looked at him dumbfounded and he didn't have anyone there. But, of course, people who then sort of fact-checked the film.
But the premises of that movie on behalf of Michael Moore.
Right.
Was to let everybody know.
Make people look silly.
That he felt strongly that this was Bush's fault.
Well, yeah, but in essence, that's opinion. If you're talking about opinion or it
well,
versus
this. Well, this is opinion. It's all opinion. So if you can start, you know, I mean, come on.
I understand what you're saying, that this is opinion. But in this particular case, and this is why I make the strong argument about release forms, this lawyer who's there on The View makes no mention that she signed no documentation for her voice or her likeness to be used in this fashion. The only
Are
thing
we missing
was,
something?
No, well, hold
Are we
on.
Missing the fact that in this media-driven nation that maybe the lawyer could give a rat's ass about the client and just wants her name out there, too, for bigger bucks, bigger billing dollars?
Absolutely. This is not going to be a landmark case. If they really had...
That's free publicity for her, too.
Yeah, if they're both looking
for the tit of publicity.
If this woman had any proof whatsoever, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that she didn't sign a release form and her likeness was used in a false manner and they didn't have any right to, they would make that argument. That video would be off. That's one, because he would have violated the law. That's one. Violated the law and had absolutely no means to protect himself.
Well, but according to everybody, according to our government, he's violated the law, too.
Well, that's not. Well, he didn't violate
the
law.
Not that he's violated the law, but he should be prosecuted in some way, shape, or form.
Of course people believe that.
But he was on probation. That's why they interviewed him, trying to look for something to put him back in the can.
See, that's the thing that's interesting about this, is because they have not filed any probation violations on him, and this is why they were going to bring him in for the parole.
Well, because he hasn't broken the law.
Well, exactly. That's the whole thing. It would have been a parole violation.
And another thing is, this film had nothing to do with any rioting. It just happened to be on September 11th that the Muslims went rioting. Come on. Can you sell me a bridge in Brooklyn also?
If he had violated that law, in other words, he had defrauded these actors and actresses, then that would have been a violation of his probation, and he would have been in the can already. But there's no proof, because if the police interviewed him and said, did you get a release form from each and every one of these people? You look at the release form and say, all right, this is legally binding. You can do anything that you want to with this video. And they're literally,
but
their hands are tied.
Have the police asked him that yet?
Of course they have.
How do you know that?
He'd already...
No, but we don't know that.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's not, no, we don't
listen
have proof of that.
Listen to me. If there's anything that I know about this administration and about what they're trying to do here, is that what they want to do is to put this man in jail. Because if they do put him in jail, they can quell, as they believe, the violence and the unrest that's happening in the Middle East. He hasn't been put in the jail. He has not been placed in jail.
Not only that, Reese, if they put him in the can, that excuses everything that happened in the Middle East. They can say, well, it wasn't our fault that the ambassador was killed on our watch. It's all because of this renegade so-called filmmaker ex-con.
Right, and if he
and in their minds, it gets them off the hook. It's election year.
If he violated his probation in any way whatsoever, if he had violated that,
it would have been clear cut.
Have you met with the police officer?
Of course.
When?
You don't remember that big picture they had of him with the big towel around his face?
I didn't see it.
And they dragged him down to meet with police in the entire...
Oh, and they let him
yeah,
go.
And they let him go.
Oh.
So there's been no parole violation. Because
I thought
he was
like on the run.
He had all of the documentation to prove, look, I have a release form, and this release form allows me to do whatever it is that I want to. And they know their hands are tied. So while the president is running around going, hey, look, there's nothing we can do about it, he didn't break the law. And he didn't. So trust me, when I say this is nothing more as far as Cindy Lee Garcia is concerned, this is nothing more than for it's a publicity stunt. They're never going to see the light of day in a court. They're never going to see a courtroom. It can't see a courtroom. And if it does, it'll be literally for showmanship, if anything. But there's no way this guy is going to lose any money behind it, because this is what they do in Hollywood. If we want to use your likeness in any particular way, we can. This is why people have sued when they found their likeness in I heard this story. I'm sure, Edward, you've seen this a lot in New York. There are people who have sued in the city of New York for their likeness, like a girl would do a bikini ad, you know, a swimsuit ad, and it ends up on the back page of the Village Voice and for a sex ad.
Oh, yeah. That happens quite often.
Well,
not only that, Reese, the radio station used to work for still has contests. If you look at the fine print, which most people probably don't, they said, we can use your likeness for any reason we choose in perpetuity.
That's right. So, yeah, if you call on the radio station and they want to use it on a contest for imaging for contest, you know, you scream out loud, oh, my God, I'm so excited, and use that little bit. When you win that contest.
Yeah, they use mine when I won tickets to see Houston, 1Z100, and they use mine.
Exactly. So that's what it is that they do. They cover all their bases, and I'm certain that this guy did. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt. They're going to look foolish in there, but look, she'll probably get some recognition. I know what she's hoping, that somebody in Hollywood hears her story, maybe somebody like Ellen, maybe somebody like Katie Couric, maybe even Dr. Phil.
Oh, everybody's going to want to have her
and
on.
And someone's going to turn around and say, you know... Steven Spielberg heard your story, and he'd like to give you a walk-on role on his new film. You know, that's what's going to happen. She's hoping she
because everyone's the victim in America now.
Absolutely, she will definitely use victimhood to get at least a leg up. But it's never ever going to see the light of day. She's already done The View. She'll do other shows.
Is she old?
She looks to be about late. Mid-50s to early 60s.
Oh, honey, if you just starting trying to get an acting career, honey, you can hang it up.
Well, maybe there's a dog food ad that looks for her.
That's it, Val.
Unless you want to do a geriatric.
Back.
Are you tired of government picking favorites in business? Is red tape making it impossible for you to earn a living? When private businesses collude with the government to exclude competition, you get cronyism. How do you get rid of it? You can try passing laws, but that only covers up the problem. There's a better solution.
Hi, Willie Bays here with another fantastic product, Crony Clean, the spray that breaks down cronyism by breaking down government bureaucracy. Normal products attack the side effects of cronyism by passing more laws and business regulations. But Crony Clean is different. It targets the root cause of cronyism, too much government. Using proven political science, Crony Clean eliminates the government influence on business, giving everyone the right to make a living. No more concentrated benefits, no more dispersed costs. America! Why waste your time and money fighting an uphill battle against special interest groups? With Crony Clean, you have the power to fight. Crony Clean can be applied to restore economic liberty, property rights, the First Amendment, and much more. Order now and receive Crony Clean for the unbelievable price of nothing. Just pay fewer taxes. But wait, there's more. Call in the next 20 minutes and you'll receive a free gift, the Dollar Deflator. It forms a strong barrier to protect your dollar savings from inflation. Keep America free by keeping the government out of businesses. order now.
Offer not available in Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas. Side effects may include more economic freedom, jobs, less corruption, and improved quality of life. If you're a politician or lobbyist, please consult your doctor before using Crony Clean. Order today.
They gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they liked what they had. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes, and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want president? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
On the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the radio.
He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
President Obama promised us his health care law.
It is absolutely not a tax increase.
Now we know that's not true. Obama's health care law is actually one of the largest tax increases in history. Shouldn't Obama's priorities have been creating jobs and ending reckless spending? Instead, he focused on a $2 trillion health care takeover that we have to pay for. How can we afford this tax? We're already struggling. Tell Obama, repeal the health care law and pass patient-centered reform.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and
he's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who is going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
And now it's time for Chris Matthews, Absolute Idiot.
This could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
This guy's done everything right. He's raised his family right. He's fought his way all the way to the top of the Harvard Law Review in a blind test, becomes head of the review, the top editor there. Everything he's done is clean as a whistle. He's never not only broken any law, he's never done anything wrong. He's the perfect father, the perfect husband, the perfect American. And all they do is trash the guy. And it's impossible for me to believe they would have said the same thing about a Walter Mondale or a Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton. There's an ethnic piece to this. It's very hard to nail it down because they always cover it in ideology. But I've never heard anybody in this country call its opponent regularly anti-American or non-American.
You'd probably get it. There's no reason why you wouldn't. According to the Daily Caller today, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, met with the Nation of Islam leader, Louis Farrakhan, today. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad met with the Nation of Islam leader, Louis Farrakhan, and other religious leaders Tuesday. Oh, it was yesterday. According to an English translation of the Iranian president's webpage posted on Wednesday. In the picture of the Tuesday evening meeting, Farrakhan is seen smiling as he sits at a table with the Iranian president. According to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's webpage, the night before his address to the UN General Assembly, Ahmadinejad, Farrakhan, and seven other leaders of the Abrahamic religions, I guess that's what it is, listen to the Iranian president's desires for a new world order. Well, you know Farrakhan was down with that. Ahmadinejad made his case again for the regime's nuclear program, arguing that Iran has a right to develop clean energy and stressing that U.S. animosity against the Iranian government and its nuclear program is due to America's desire for the Middle East energy resources, the Iranian government claimed on their webpage. He further pointed to the Western countries' contradictory approach regarding their opposition to atomic bombs and said if they are true with their claims, why they do not destroy their own nuclear bombs first. I don't know what that means. The Iranian government wrote of Ahmadinejad's comments. The Iranian president went on to demonize Israel, saying that the Zionist regime demonstrates their weakness by threatening Iran. Really? I wouldn't have thought that. Anyway, the Ahmadinejad website notes that he added the Zionist regime is suffering from mental... What? I don't even know that word.
Let me see.
What word? Disequilibrium.
Okay, disequilibrium? Okay, wow, that's a new one for me. I'm not going to lie. Never heard that one before. Ahmadinejad also claimed that America is seeking to reestablish itself as an empire. Wow. Meaning that we're not one now. But that the Iranian nation is scared of nothing and will confront all bullying powers. And the American system and its two political parties leads to discrimination. What else did he say? There's some more stuff here. That's relatively not important. Farrakhan, meeting with, of course, the leader of Iran. So typical. And the guy gets to live in our country. Just hang out. Just chill out. Nobody says a word. It's just okay. Nobody hauls this guy in and say, hey, what the F is the deal? Because that's what I would ask. Yo, my man, what the F is the deal? You're hanging out in our country? And you want to go sit with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad? I mean, isn't there treason? Don't we do treason anymore? What's with us? We don't scream out treason anymore. What's going on, Sally D? We don't scream treason anymore.
You know, the thing that mystifies me is that we will go out of our way as a country to stop certain people from speaking, whether it be Black Panthers or the KKK, and in some cases, rightfully so. However, you have this First Amendment issue where you have that border where you say, you know, at what point is speech inflammatory to the point where you know it's going to cause violence? But yet, this mad dog who comes over here and pretends to be a statesman, and he's smart as heck because he understands that we are a fractured country. And
right.
So if you throw enough crap against the wall, and there's a few people that will support you, like Farrakhan, then when this thing hits the fan with Israel, he can say, look, they didn't have universal support in their country, and this is what this is all about.
Hmm.
He's trying to gain support because he's trying to put himself in a position of power because he understands what's coming. And we just go right along with it, let him spouse whatever he gets. Yet we will shut down Americans from speaking.
Yeah, you know what's frightening about this with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is, you know, there are a lot of people in this country who really agree with him. And they're not just, you know, what most would consider fringe ideologues. A lot of them are what they consider the academic elite. You know, people at Columbia University, people at Harvard University, you know, I won't go so far as saying Yale, but there are some people at some very, very, reputable establishment that agree with him. I'm stunned. You know, I remember going down to Occupy Wall Street. I'll give you a perfect example. I got into an argument with a young kid. He had to be about 25 years old. And we're having this discussion out about Israel. And, of course, he's one of those young kids who's like, you know, forget Israel, F Israel, that's the problem, that's the reason why the Muslims hate us, it's because of our Zionist protection, you know, and all this other stuff. And, you know, I turn around and say, so you don't believe that we should protect Israel even when you have Mahmoud Ahmadinejad talking about wiping it off the face of the earth? So, and we're in a crowd. It's not just he and I talking. We're in the middle of a circle of people, and you've seen Zuccotti Park on the news. I was in the middle of that, and the crowds were at least 7 to 8 feet, 7 to 8 people deep surrounding us in the middle of this argument. And I make that claim, and he says, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad never said that. And I said, are you kidding me? He goes, he never said he was going to wipe it off the face of the earth. I said, so what did he say? I'm sure he said that the Zionist regime needs to end, but I'm sure he never said it's going to wipe them off the face of the earth. So in the middle of me making that argument, I was a little ticked off because my phone, I had this Metro PCS cell phone at the time, and it was really awful. So I could get no internet access to actually look it up. Luckily, there was a guy in the crowd at Occupy Wall Street with an iPhone. And he goes on the internet, and he reaches his arm into the crowd. He's about 3 feet, 3 people out of the crowd. He reaches in with his iPhone and taps me on the shoulder, and he puts it in my face, and he goes, show him this. And I turned around and I looked him right in the face and I said, oh, my God. And I looked at him and I said, well, explain that. And it was right in his face. And the guy completely shut up. He was like, well, but wait a minute. You just sat up here and professed that he never said it. And here are a list of sites where he completely made that claim.
Got to watch. When you watch these guys speak, and, I mean, you could even look at Hussein. You could look at Gaddafi, and you can look at this guy. There are times when they want to turn it on and turn on the charm, and they're speaking in foreign countries, they can act like these really well-seasoned statesmen and deliver it in such a way that they almost seem kind of innocuous. And this is how people are fooled. It's like Putin. You know, there are moments when you watch Putin, he seems kind of friendly, suave. The guy's a killer. He's a cold-blooded killer.
Absolutely.
People are
just like Hitler. How many people went and visited Hitler in the 30s?
Yeah.
Lloyd George, for instance. I mean, and didn't Winston Churchill praise Mussolini before Mussolini got involved with Hitler?
Sure enough, did.
Right.
Edward, you're on as well. I didn't know if you knew that you're on the air, Edward. We got you back on.
Yeah, I dropped. I was went through a tunnel.
That's okay. No, that's all right. Did you want to add something?
Well, I just want to say that I think, you know, this is going to sound strange, but you're taking Ahmadinejad a little too seriously because he's pretty much like the Joe Biden of Iran. The real leader in Iran is the supreme leader, I can't remember his name, Khomeini. He's the one who's in charge. So anything that comes out of his mouth is really, you know, just think of him like Joe Biden. Doesn't mean anything.
Right, he's second fiddle, and he's here to antagonize. I can agree with that. Go ahead, Dennis.
He's right. In Iranian politics, Ahmadinejad is not as supreme as you think he is. I would agree with that. But before I go, because I want to change gears for a second.
Sure.
I mean, I hope I come back after tomorrow's surgery, but you never know. And it's
been
a pleasure listening.
Hey, Dennis,
you're breaking up. So it's been a pleasure listening to you, and we've had a lot of fun. But my question is, and I think everything's going to go your way in the court case, where do you go to get your good name back? Just like Reagan's Secretary of Labor, Ray Donovan, said when he was exonerated. Where are you going to go to get your good name back, my friend?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do one thing, and that's the most important thing. Let me just say this, and I think that's the most important way to go. And you know what? Make sure that you email me, Edward, you as well, and JC, I'll talk to you in a little bit. The first place that we go, and I'll just put it to you this way, how do I put this? I want to put this.
You're
going
to go to the lawyer that hired the Mexican, hired, rather.
No. I'm not trying to use coded word because I'm worried about who's listening. But let's just put it to you this. Let's just put it to you this way. The root of my salvation will come through Detective Robert Arbuzo. And his testimony in my defense at my trial will be the beginning stages of getting my good name back.
Well, that's not what I mean. I mean, even though things will go your way, they'll always have the segment of people who, no matter what you do, maybe that's the way society is, will never believe you.
Oh, no, but...
And what do you do, you know? I mean, you just say, screw you, and go on with your life, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, you know, as I said in the beginning of the show, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, well, not at the beginning of the show, when I was talking about Cindy Lee Garcia, is I said, you know, the ultimate thing is that, you know, let me rephrase it. No one ever won anything by defending it. And I'm not going to defend something that I didn't do. There's no reason for me to. And the idea is to press on. I'm going to get my good name back whether they like it or not. There are going to be some people out there where it's always going to be a part of my life. Hey, Tupac, you know, had the number one hit in the world. But, you know, if you looked at his, you know, his background and his bio, there was always that rape charge there, wasn't it? You know,
well,
Mike
does this
Tyson,
mean that perhaps there's terrestrial radio in your future again?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Terrestrial radio beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because you know what it is? There are some people out there who have told me over and over again that the one thing that has kept them from moving forward with me professionally is because, look, unless this is over and you are completely exonerated, there's no way where they can go, because if anyone asks the question, if I'm exonerated, if anyone asks the question, well, hey, wasn't this guy charged with rape? And then the evidence speaks for itself. Well, yes, he was, but here's what happened. And they'll be like, oh, I didn't know that. So it all depends.
In other words, you're not Felon Finneran.
Yeah, hell no. And I won't be. And there's no way that I'm going to take it, you know, lying down. The bottom line is that, and I said this when I was in jail, you know, somebody's got to pay. You know, someone's got to pay. This is 4 years of my life, and they took a lot from me, a lot from me. And the actions of one individual, no matter how ridiculous they are and how silly they might be or how cowardice they may be, the bottom line is that someone has to pay. And, you know, this individual will get away with it. You know, she'll go on with her life. I'm pretty sure it'll eat her alive as she continues on with her life, and I'm sure that it has, and it continues to. But that's not for me to deal with. I only have to deal with the people who purposefully did not do their jobs. You know? And the police department knows. I mean, come on. You wouldn't have a detective now testifying for the defense if indeed they did their job. I'll give you a great quote from the police department. And they said, and I quote, "I knew something was up, but I couldn't put my finger on it. But yet I was still arrested." And why? It's because of the atmosphere. You know, the atmosphere is these people never met anybody who wasn't raped. Everybody who says that they were raped is supposed to be believed.
Does this mean now you can run for president of France?
I can do better than that. Because, look, once this is done, I think in the next maybe I believe in the next 2 to 4 years, I will be looking at some small ball politics.
All I hear, looking at some small something.
Oh, small ball politics.
Oh, okay.
I like the sound of that.
Because
small
I believe
small ball politics is how it came across to me.
That's exactly what it was. Small ball politics. When I say by small ball politics, is I may go, district, assemblyman, councilman, somewhere along those lines.
I think you'd be right up your alley. I think you'd do well there.
Oh, absolutely.
Just don't be a Democrat, please. I mean, we've had enough sharks in our lifetime.
Hey, Reed, not to divert too much, but have you ever covered that Mike Tyson rape trial or any of the facts that came out of that? Or was that something you ever discussed at any point?
Well, I discussed the Mike Tyson rape case back in 2002, even though it had been some years past. You know what the argument always was. You're riding in a limo with Mike Tyson after you met him at a Black Beauty pageant. It's 3:00 in the morning. He drives up to his hotel room. He asks you to come upstairs. Now, again, the naivete of a young girl who I believe was, 18, 19 years old? Okay,
right.
I'm not going to make any arguments. I sat here and defended Monica Lewinsky for the way that she behaved with Bill Clinton. But if this young lady at 18 years old and Mike Tyson alone in a hotel room, going up this hotel room, you'd have to be one of the most naive people in the world to think that this guy wasn't going upstairs for something other than a cocktail.
To this day,
he was going for a Tupperware demonstration.
But
to this day, he swears that it was a mutual thing, and then when he wouldn't walk her out, she got pissed at him, and that's his claim. He did his time, and I always wonder, if there's any validity to that, and it is what it is. He's convicted, and but it always, whether or not, no one will ever know. It is what it is in that case.
Yeah, I was always angered at the fact that Mike Tyson never further defended himself or his reputation behind that. Afterwards, he kind of just let it stick.
Right, it seemed like he let it stick, and it seemed like the country, now that time has passed. That time of the 80s and the early 90s, it's like the country's now giving them a pass.
Right.
And I think they've given them that pass because I don't think that they firmly believed it to begin with. It's just that it was the environment, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. I think that people are giving him a pass because it's just old news. It's nothing to be talked about anymore. Nobody cares about
but-
it.
I'm sure she'd be still out every time he's on Dancing with the Stars or reality shows or anything. You don't hear from her at all.
This is true. Yeah, he's become the media darling, and she's become sort of like, and again, this is like Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton. Look at Kobe Bryant, that's another classic case of, how the quote-unquote media, the media was way more harsh to him when that took place. In fact, I believe that most people wanted to crucify Kobe Bryant.
That's because, probably people expected that, something like that from Mike Tyson. But Kobe Bryant, nobody expected that. You know what I mean? Kobe Bryant was not Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson had a history of violence, a history of, you know, abuse.
Yeah, would that explain when Kobe Bryant played his first game against the Denver Nuggets in Denver, the crowd screamed every time he grabbed the ball, rapist?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in Mike Tyson's case, it seemed like America was more pissed off about his relationship with Robin Givens and the abusive claims than they were about that lady that got raped.
You are absolutely right. That is a very important point.
And I think more so, is because she was America's darling, because she was on the top rated show at that time, head of the class.
Yeah, but you know what? Robin Givens was a virtual unknown. She was on a popular TV show, but you're absolutely right. When people go back into Mike Tyson's history, they always talk about that story longer than they do about anything else, even the rape case. They always...
You know what else is odd about that, Reese? I don't want to take too much time with it. It seemed like only the hood thought that Robin Givens was full of shit. And that she was fooled again. The hood never believed that story for 1 minute.
Yeah, you're right. All right, we got to go. We're already off. It's 10 o'clock, folks. We love you. We will see you tomorrow, same bad time, same bad channel. Believe me, check out the show tomorrow because I will definitely have some better news. But, of course, all of you guys, you know, email me. You know where to contact me. I'll let you in on the secret early. Talk to you later. It's Reese on the Radio.